I accept eternal life. I am the child of light. There is no death. There never was. There never will be. No one, since time began, has ever died. In all the graves in this universe, there is no one lying there dead. No one has ever died. This is the world illusion of a life apart from God. The Christ in me has abolished the illusion of death. The living soul is all there ever was and is now. The living soul of all who seemingly were buried is alive now, present, active, being, one infinite living soul, individualizing as infinite individual souls, all alive now, not one has ever been lost. I am not in the illusion of death. Might be apropos at this moment to tell you that the girls up in Oregon have advised me that the announcements for the seminar on Mount Hood, August 8th through 13th, will be mailed out in the very earliest part of March, so you'll soon have them. And if we have the joy of meeting you there, we will also be able to have some private consultations with those of you who feel that this would be advisable for you. The new consciousness of life without death shared by you through the example of the way you live will have a tremendous effect on your family and upon all those who come in contact with you in a way far beyond any words that you might use. And if, as a group, we bring this consciousness together, even though space may separate us, you will find that you are playing a role which Spirit had in mind for you from the very first. If you can accept that there is no death, you are on your way to turning the world from its fear of the atom. The atom consciousness of the world will meet your consciousness of no death, and your knowledge that there is no death will enable you to know that the atom which man fears does not exist. As God did not create death, God did not create the atom. And I want you to know that nothing is going to defeat the atom consciousness of mankind except your knowledge that God did not create the atom. That's how important you are. All this was planned so that the fear of the world about the atom and your growing awareness of the non-reality of the atom would be synchronized. You are the counterwave. You are the balance. Without you, the world would be engulfed by atom hysteria. There will be no atom hysteria. There will be no atomic annihilation because you are the life of God. In this very recent controversy between science and industry and politics, it is not your function or mine to take sides. Whether the nuclear scientists were motivated by a personal motive or not, whether the government is right, whether General Electric is right, or who is right or wrong, is not the point. It is quite clear that no one controls the atom. It never has been controlled. Who controls the atoms of a disaster? Who controls the atoms of a flood? Who controls the atoms of a fire? Who controls the atoms of germs? Atoms are not controlled by God. They never have been. And they are not controlled by God because they are not created by God. When these nuclear engineers handed in their resignation, this was science telling industry that industry is irresponsible, that industry does not know anything about the atom that it manufactures into a power plant. There are 69 of those in this country. And these three men, with a great deal of experience, these three men appointed as safety engineers, designers of safety equipment, designers of equipment that is supposed to assure safety, have stood forth to declare that the atom in the safety plants, in the power plants, cannot be controlled. They wanted 19 of these plants closed down, but they saw other things. They saw India using fissionable material from an industrial atomic power plant and making an atom bomb out of it. They said, what about Egypt? What about Israel? Anyone can do it if they have a power plant. And we sell them. When we sell power plants, nuclear power plants, we are providing targets for an enemy nation. Wherever there's a power plant, you have a perfect target. And we are finding that not only is industry unaware of the lack of safety measures, but there is a human element which cannot be overcome. And no one knows it better than the men who are delegated, trained, paid to ensure the safety which they say they cannot ensure. while we do this, it is being called to our attention by this incident that the atom is not controlled by God. We also discover that, in a sense, we are being judged by our own judgment as we ship arms to Angola. We are shipping atoms, you might say, atoms that are arms, atoms that are weapons. All matter being atoms, we are shipping atoms called weapons. And although in the past we had feared atomic attack, we are learning something far different. The real enemy is not atomic attack. It is the atoms in our midst. The atoms that we ourselves are manufacturing into power plants. He who lives by the sword, he who delivers bombs abroad, will find these bombs at his front door. We are manufacturing the implements within ourselves for our own self-destruction. And what is all this based upon? The belief that we can kill someone else with bombs. That's why we ship them. We believe in death. And we fear the atom because we believe in death. And the world believes in death. And the world fears the atom. And the world ships bombs. And the world uses bombs to cause death. Because it believes in death. And who in this world can counteract the world belief in death if you cannot? It is so widespread. It is such a universal belief, so deeply rooted, so total, that only a group of individuals trained in the knowledge of spiritual truth can offset the world belief in death, the world belief in the power of atoms to cause death. They cannot. No one died in Hiroshima. No one died in Nagasaki. No one has ever died from an atomic bomb or from atomic radioactivity. God did not create death. And we are not interested in selling this point of view to the world. It will not come to them that way. It will come to them as it has come to you, spiritually, as they learn through the power of spirit within them to step out of the darkness of the belief in a life separate and apart from God. God is not made of atoms. Christ is not made of atoms. The life of God is not made of atoms. God does not die. Atoms die. Who is in the atom? The infinite body of God, which is your body, is not in the atom. The atom is a mental image. The atom bomb is a mental image. The nuclear power plant is a mental image. Yes, you will learn this well. It is not an accident that at this moment in world history, three scientists have said that the atom is not under control. It is not. It is not created by God. It has no existence in the consciousness of one who is a child of the light. Now you will find it very difficult to overcome both the belief in death and the belief in the reality or existence of the atom until you have accomplished one great truth in your understanding. If you are convinced that there has been no death, you must know too that your senses see death. Your senses believe there is a world outside. But the death occurs only within your senses. Only within the senses of the one who seems to die. The great illusion is the illusion of a world out there. There is no world out there. You are looking at your thought. You are looking at thought images called the world. If you had a dream, and in that dream you saw many persons walking and talking, and then awoke and knew that all these persons walking and talking existed only within your dream. This is precisely what you must now learn about the external world. It exists only within the dream of your mind. There are no persons out there. There are images in your mind which you think are out there. If you look at your TV set and see these persons, you do not believe that there are persons in those bodies. Those bodies are but images on the TV set. There are no persons in those bodies because they are images. The same with the persons out here. There are no persons in those bodies. They are images. And the only reason they die, the only reason those forms die is because they are images. That is the secret of why death seems to happen. The images die. There is no person in any image on this earth. The forms are images. The forms die because the images die. And that is all that dies. That which is there never dies. That which is there is not an image in your mind. You cannot see what is there. God is there, individualized as the invisible Christ. And there is a living soul which you cannot see, out of which you fashion a mental image called form which exists in your mind. And that is all that can pass by and seem to die. Reality is only within you. It is never outside. That is why the Christ says, that which comes out of a man determines his life. That is why the Christ says, something that passeth all understanding. The kingdom of God is within you. You see, it's not out there. Now, those of you who cannot catch this are going to continue wondering why the healings are temporary, or why they don't occur at all, or why you seem to always get stuck up on the branch of a tree and can't get down again. You are living in the belief of external people. You are loving external people. You are hating, fearing, and in some way doing business with external people. And you are fearing external atoms. And you are judging external activities all the time, not living in your kingdom. Now this month, we have a job to do. We must stand together in group consciousness, knowing that God did not create atoms. It is our function to know this while the world has its controversy about why the nuclear scientists really resigned. Whether what they said is true, whether what industry says is true, whether what politics says is true. Our function is to stand above all this in the knowledge that God did not create atoms. And in our meditation on this, we must know that there is nothing to fear. Atoms are a subconscious mental image. They have no existence. They cannot make contact with the life of God. You are accepting the invisible self, which is independent of the atom, as your self. As the self of all those who are worried about the atom. As the only self. And you are knowing the non-power of the atom, just as you must know the non-power of death. And when you feel the throbbing, the stirring of your soul, that soul movement will be your contribution to the dispelling of atomic fear in this universe. Let's set that meditation daily, and I know this will not please some of you who work, but it has to be in the morning. And too early would be a difficulty for some of you, so 10 a.m. is the time I would like to suggest. 10 a.m. because maybe where you are, you can find the time on the job to take your coffee break at that moment. Or maybe you run a business and can take it whenever you like. And certainly those of us who do not report to a job can get together at 10 a.m. Sometimes we find that by evening we just don't have what it takes, and so we want to get there at 10 a.m. when we're full of the strength and the capacity to join together with force. That'll be our 10 a.m. meditation, and it takes effect the very day you get your tape. if you get it before 10 a.m., and if not, the very next day, and continue every day of the month. God did not create atoms. That's our theme. There will come a time when, as we awaken from the sleep of atoms, that the world in turn will awaken from the sleep of atoms. And this is an infinite synchronization that will take place in divine sequence. There will be a discovery. Someday a scientist will run up and down this world shouting, "I have discovered the non-atomic universe. I have discovered that there is no death. There is no power in the atom when you live in the non-atomic universe." And he will be right. Science will discover this, but Christ already knows it. Christ knows that all death, all terror, all power of destruction exists only in the dream images of the mind. Our thought, animated by the world mind, appears to be external but is not. These are like images on TV. And they include your physical form, your neighbor's physical form. They include all of nature. They include every ocean, every mountain, every tree. These images include not only the sights, but the smells and the emotions. They include the touching, the things you feel with your fingertips. All are like TV images. If you touched a TV image of a man, there would be no man there. If you touch a TV image of a flower, there is no flower there. Even if you touch the wetness of water, there is no water there. This world is a TV image. And one day, as you are dwelling in the consciousness of this truth, you will find you have brought into effect that glorious inner vision which can see the kingdom of God within you. And you will know that you are living in the soul universe, the eternal. We are learning gradually to step out of the wrong self, the self that can die, because only the wrong self can die. The right self, the only, never dies. Without inner vision, limited to false outer vision, we always see death where life is. We see death where Christ is. We see disease and corruption and sickness, and we see a world in torment. We see Lockheed. We see false payoffs. We see law enforcement officials who have a handout. We see corruption in the highest places. But it's all on TV. It's not in reality. It's not in the creation of God. We are seeing our animated thought. Death is always the illusion of the beholder. God never dies. God is all. There is no death in God. There is no death in life. What we have been calling death is actually the return of a soul to its source. That's something to be elated about. Joyous, not grievous. The only place where death is known is in the human brain, which itself dies. Follow me. When Christ says, follow me, we have not realized the meaning is follow me out of death. Follow me out of the supreme illusion. Only mental atoms can die. The self always remains. Whenever you have a belief in death, you are denying yourself. You are denying your eternal body, your eternal life, your eternal being. You are denying Christ, I am, thou art. The body that dies never leaves the mind of the beholder. It is not even buried. It never leaves the mind of the beholder. And that is why it is said that the dead will rise from their graves. There are no bodies in graves. They were never put there. They are all in the mind of the world. Raise the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. God did not create the dead. Awake. Awake from the sleep of death. And know that as death itself is unreal, so is everything that leads to death. In one of my meditations, I could feel death as not even a shadow, just something painted on the surface of our thought with no substance to it, no meaning to it, just a transparent, thin layer of belief. That's all it is. It is possible, with your knowledge of this, to wake up every day in the Christ world. You can really wake up in the Christ world where there is no death. And as you do this consciously every day, I am waking up in a world where there is no death. This is the Christ world. You will discover this stimulates your soul movement. And this leads to mastery over death. And you will find it is going to lead to mastery over the atom. Soul movement is going to play a big, big part in your spiritual development. When Elijah says to the widow, pour a little from the cruse of oil, he wasn't talking about that little oil jar in her hands. The cruse of oil was a little movement of her soul. Just that little movement of your soul is the miracle worker. Awake, thou that sleepest. Awaken to the movement of your soul. The movement of your soul is the vessels through which Christ makes all things new. Just as in the morning the sun streams through and makes all things new, I, Christ, through your soul, stream through your life, and I make all things new. Then you are walking spiritually. Your soul follows Christ out of death. You walk in the newness of life. Only your soul, because now it walks in the kingdom. Now it brings new substance. Your soul walks outside matter. Your soul rebirths you. Your soul redeems the falsity of the world. Your soul pours spirit within. The substance of self-renewal. It is your soul moving within you which conceives your virgin birth. Just like your brain works within your finite body, your soul works within your infinite body. And you understand your infinite body through the movement of your soul. Soul goes to source. Only soul can seek the kingdom, not a human mind. So we're going to learn now to walk in soul independent of matter. Not with muscles. Not by might, not by power, but in the newness of life. Now is the kingdom of God. Nothing can change the perfection of the kingdom of God which is present. Nothing in this world changes truth. Now you're going to get stuck along the way many times. We all do. So here are a few things that I think are important for you to remember when you're stuck. Let's call them spiritual tips. The reason you're stuck from time to time is because even though you know truth mentally and even experience truth spiritually, there is a vast involuntary flow of the human will, human needs, human desires. And naturally, you fall back into this involuntary flow, so that at one moment you have found the inner spirit, but in another, for reasons you cannot define and are not even aware of, you're thinking of how can I help my human selfhood again? You're thinking of how can I get comfortable? How can I accomplish this and that? And so you've got to break this chain. And one of the great spiritual tips is always to, whenever you find you're in this bind that you can't get back to where you wanted to be in spirit, is to just stop and know, I am not present in this form. It really is beautiful because whenever you do it, it's so clear at that moment what has been wrong in the past. You were in the form. You weren't aware that you were not in the form, and so you went and you were living in the form, and the healings you tried didn't work, or the problems you had were partially solved, or people came to you and you found you were all thumbs. The spirit didn't go before you. There were too many crooked places. Always because the law of spirit only functions in spirit. It doesn't function in the material world. Its outlet is through your spiritual consciousness. And if you don't provide that outlet, it can't manifest. Now, the moment you sit back and say, I am not in the form, you're starting a new direction. And from that new direction, I make all things new. Now, it only takes 2, 3, 5 minutes sometimes. And so put that down in your mind as number one. You break the bottlenecks when you stop and know I am not in the form. From this, you will find that you may become aware that I am an invisible self. You can even start your meditation at this point if you wish. I am the invisible self. For me, the third tip is even more important than the first two. But it's based on the first two. And that is, no person is in a body. That's right. No person is in a body. Anybody I look at, there's no person in there. Why? Because God isn't in that person's body, and God is all. Spirit is never contained in a physical body. And the minute I know there's no person in that body, I am in omnipresence. And so my third way, for me, is the first way. Whenever the bottlenecks occur, whenever there is a material block, it is because the consciousness must be reminded there is no person in a body anywhere. That again takes a few minutes, and when it's realized, it's a tremendous release. To my surprise, there's a fourth way that is not being practiced by too many people. I'm quite shocked by it. And it's very simple. It's just a 2-minute meditation. To just be still for 2 minutes with absolutely no thought. Take no thought for 2 minutes. I mean no thought. You just do it for 2 minutes. You relinquish all thought. You stand on the pinnacle between the world thought and even divine thought in a state of no thought. And you hold that consciously. You're in neutral, you might say. And when you do this for 2 minutes, you break the continuity of world thought. You may not think you're doing much, but it'll get rid of indigestion. It'll get rid of all the little physical disturbances that crop up in a day. It'll get rid of mixed and funny emotions that you'd rather be rid of. All of these world shadows that pass through your mind are powerless when you're in a state of no thought. And I think that if you're really in a state of some kind of emotional disturbance or distress or just want to clear the airwaves, that it would be a wise thing to do this every hour for 2 minutes. And then when you see the power of it, you'll realize that this has to be part of your spiritual repertoire all the time. You have to have the capacity to step back into a state of no thought for a couple of minutes whenever you want to. And this, too, leads to soul movement. There's still a fifth way. And that is to stop and ask yourself, what is God thinking right now? So often you see you're all immersed in this false sense of self, or there's a you waiting for God. But suppose you just stop and say, what is God thinking now? Now, if you want to really know, you've got to listen. You've got to listen to God thinking. And as you listen to God thinking, you will find that you are coming into the consciousness of divine thought. And you will soon see that you are thinking from the same viewpoint as God. As the Father thinketh, his thoughts will think through you. And when God is thinking your thoughts, all that you will think will be divine power. What is God thinking? God is thinking perfection. God is thinking now. God is thinking here. What about your human thought? Your human thought is a second self, isn't it? Can you develop the capacity to let God's thought be your thought, and no second human thought? You had better, because the second self that's thinking is separated from God. You must learn to rest in this divine consciousness. Now, some of the things we have discussed up to this moment all lead to an understanding that it is necessary to continuously begin at a new starting point. You must reach a state of willingness to start in God. And a very strange and important kind of self-discipline must be imposed. A discipline that says, because there is no person in any body and because I have awakened this morning in the world of Christ, I will not talk to the person where the body stands. I will talk to the Christ. I will not see the person. I will see the Christ. And unless you have the will to do this, you will not do it. All of your human attitudes prevent you from doing this. And because these human attitudes prevent you from doing your business with the Christ rather than the person where the body is, you are kept in a state of humanhood. The Christ judgment you will not give out there to the other is what you are preventing from yourself. And so, when we are told to raise the dead, begin with yourself. Raise yourself from mortal belief. Raise yourself from the sense of I am a mortal. Raise your own false self. Be experimental. You can constantly devise new experiments to raise yourself out of the sense of mortality here and there. Begin to see a new way, hear a new way, feel a new way. Find that divine rhythm. Live in the infinite body of your soul. Always pause and listen. Listen for God speaking through your soul. We live, says Paul, not by faith alone. We live in the knowledge that Christ is the spirit of my being. And when that becomes my faith, then I no longer need eyes to see with. Then I can live by faith in Christ and not by sight. Catch yourself whenever you are trying to improve the wrong self. Oh, this is what we do continuously. We're trying to improve the wrong self. Instead of stepping out of the belief in it. Whenever your mind strays from soul, you'll find it's trying to improve the wrong self. But only God exists, only His creation. And only your soul, not your mind, can know this. Wake up. Put it into operation today. Wake up right now in the Christ world. You are in the Christ world where death does not occur, where there is no evil. You are in the Christ world where all is perfect. And live with faith in this, though the mind shows you the opposite. Unless you do this, you fall back into the form that eventually dies. Unless you do this, the belief in death begins to creep back into your subconscious mind. You must live not as a mortal being. You must live as an immortal being. You must live with the immortals. You can, you know, live with the soul of every form you see. And as you develop this capacity, you can also live with the soul of all the forms you do not see. You can live with the soul of the immortals who no longer walk the earth in visible form, just as you live with the soul of those who walk the earth in visible form. And this communion with souls of both the visible forms and of the invisible forms is part of soul movement and living in the kingdom of God on earth. It must be done consciously. Do not let the world keep you human, self-indulgent, incomplete, living in a wrong self. You are too important. The prodigal must return. If I am made of atoms, I am finite. God is not atoms. God does not walk into rooms. God does not die. God is not living in passing minutes. God is not even breathing. Soul is where I live. Wait. Let your soul express. Discipline your mind to silence, to wait upon your soul. Let your soul reveal the glory of the inner realms. Break out of the mold. There are no separate people here or anywhere. Now we have quite a lot of work cut out for ourselves. And I think it might be wise to look for a moment at a few passages that we have forgotten. Passages that we probably never noticed. One that I'm thinking of is in Luke. If you'll remember, Elizabeth has a virgin child. Zacharias is swept off his feet. He just, the most marvelous thing in this world for him, and he makes a prophecy after he names the child John, in accordance with her wish. He says, this John, which is John the Baptist, has come to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You see, this forerunner of the real light was to take us out of death, to give light to those who are in the shadow of death. We do not realize that the entire Bible is saying to us, there is no death. Stop dying. You could ask anyone on the street and anyone in any religion on earth, they will not tell you that the Bible is to tell us to stop dying. They still think we've got to die to be welcomed by God in heaven. No. The whole message of the Bible is stop dying. There is no death. It never was. And we can go right back to Ezekiel. God takes no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Now you can see that another way. The you that thought it was going to die is the him that dieth. God takes no pleasure in that. You displease God by thinking you're going to die, and you displease God by dying. And isn't that a veiled statement? Can't you read behind the lines of that? If you displease God by dying, do you think God is standing by and letting you displease him? You are only entering a false sense of death. That's the displeasure. This is the way spiritual terminology works. Give me to drink, says the Christ. Not because Christ is thirsty, but because when we do not turn to the living waters of Christ, it is phrased, Christ says, give me to drink. When the Father says, I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, that is a veiled statement that death is an illusion. Every day at 10 a.m., our meditation will be, God is not in the atom. God did not create atoms. And from that you will understand the corollary that I am not living in a body of atoms that God did not create.